Hey, welcome to Widow Too Soon. This is your host, Mark Massaro, and I am flying solo today. Michelle and I couldn't get our schedules to coordinate, so I am solo. So make sure to wake me up before you go. I'm a dork. Sorry. So, anyways, I am doing an episode today, and just kind of wanted to reach out to some of you guys. There's been some stuff on my heart lately that, I've wanted to share, and I would normally give you an update of what's been going on in my life, but we just did our 100th episode yesterday for me. And so not a lot has happened since yesterday. So, but fortunately, I am no longer sweating like I've been eating chips and salsa because I am not live. And for some reason, that makes me super nervous because I can just stop right now if I want to and delete this. So that's pretty cool. But if you're hearing this, it means I didn't. So, anyways, I am titling this episode. It is episode 101. So I am super clever and I am calling it Widowed 101. Boom. Seriously, let me just give you guys a second to revel in how brilliant of a title that is. Just kidding. I just thought it was funny. So, anyways, I wanted to talk about, we've all been through this same walk together, and we've all had very, very different experiences. Some are more similar than others, but one thing that I think is extremely common for all of us to have experienced is anger. And we don't really, Michelle and I haven't talked about that a whole lot. And so I just kind of wanted to get into that a little bit because I know there's a lot of you that are in the beginning, or even those of you that are further out that still experience anger. And first of all, I want you to tell you that's super, super normal. The Bible does tell us, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Great advice and a very good word, but I don't think any of us were quick to anger. I think we had something to be very angry about. And obviously, even our anger is all different between all of us. For me, I had a lot of anger because that shouldn't have happened to Lacey. That's just how I felt. Like, why in the world did she get cancer? That didn't make any sense to me. And why did she have to suffer so much? And why did my kids have to see this? And, they were little and they were watching mommy just go through a lot and watching her like literally fall apart. And it was just terrible. But Lacey was such an amazing woman and so sweet and just loved everybody. She was so good to people and always serving God's kingdom and just really loved people well. If she ever, she was just the kind of woman that if she ever saw somebody, and I actually mentioned this in her eulogy, that if she ever saw somebody standing alone, she would like go over there and talk to them because she didn't want anybody to feel left out. And she just really, really cared about people. She ate pretty darn well. She was very conscious of health things. And minus her her love for sugar, which a lot of us would associate cancer with sugar, and that's some people debate that, but to me it seems it makes sense to me. I'll just say that. And so she did have a bit of a sweet tooth. She loved candy and cakes and ice cream and things like that, but she didn't overindulge. It just And she always exercised and all this stuff. And so it made me really angry that she got cancer. And I didn't understand it. And I'm sure a lot of you relate to this, that like because of the different lifestyle that I had lived from her, it would have made sense to me if I got cancer. I wouldn't have liked it, of course. But it would have made sense to me. But that's just the thing about cancer is that none of us, we don't really know for sure where it comes from. There's a lot of theories about there from, toxins that are in the air to toxins in the food we eat and all these different things that, some people say that they know that that's where it comes from, but really, like, nobody actually knows how it actually, like, why for some people it actually develops into, you know, because we all have cancer cells in our body and our body fights them off. But for some people at some point, the cancer cells can't be fought off. And that's my understanding. Forgive me if that's not accurate. But I used to know all this stuff. And after Lacey died, I just chose to forget so much stuff. But that's what I feel like I remember. But anyways, so onto what we're talking about anger is like, that is a very, very normal feeling. And how do we deal with that? Well, I'd say, first of all, like, well, okay, so we have to know, going back to scripture, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So we should have a heart that wants to not be angry and accept that we are. I think that is the right posture of your heart to have, that you accept that you're angry. I accept it. I am angry. But you should have a desire not to be angry, I feel. And so how do you do that? Well, for me, it helped a lot that when I prayed to God, I told him how mad I was at him. I was so angry. I was so angry. Like, we had such a great life. Like, why did you allow this? And you have to remember, like, God can handle it. He's not going to scold you. And you have to see what a beautiful thing it is that even in your anger, you're still going to God. And I think he honors that. And, you know, because I think the wrong approach that a lot of people take, that I have actually heard several stories of this happening, is people turn away from their faith. And that's, you know, to be honest, I understand it. I never struggled with that. I never struggled with my faith. I saw too many things happen that let me know that God was there and that he was real. And there was no way that I could deny his existence just because I was angry. But I didn't understand. I did not understand why he allowed it. Like, you know, I had this mindset of like, what did we do to deserve this? And I was reminded that we live in a fallen world and this is not our permanent home. That this is, in contrast to heaven, this is a terrible place that we have to live for the time being. And there's a lot of pain here and there's a lot of suffering. And that's the beauty of heaven. And what we have to look forward to is God's promise. And that when we do either get, you know, and I'm not going to get into the specifics of what people believe, but either we get raptured or we die. But when we open our eyes in heaven, all of a sudden, there's no more death. There's no more anger. There's no more sin. There's no more sadness. There's no more sickness. There's no more struggles. And it's going to be a place of absolute perfection because we are in God's glory. And I feel like that's how you can kind of shift your mind away from the anger, is to become more heavenly minded. And to constantly be looking forward to your eternity. It's hard to kind of wrap your mind around the idea of eternity, but can you imagine the feeling when we get there? That you just know that this amazing feeling that you have inside right now, this true peace like you've never experienced before in your life, that this is now forever. You did it. You were here. You worked out your own salvation through Christ. And gosh, it's such a I just remember like longing for it and obviously still do, but at that time it was like, Lord, like I just want to be where Lacey is. And but, you know, we still have life to live. We're still here. And sometimes that's really hard. Sometimes we don't want to be here anymore. And so that's not something that's easy to talk yourself out of. So in those moments when you feel that, it's rather than trying to talk yourself out of feeling that way, because that's very, very difficult. Something you can do is remind yourself that this is a temporary feeling, that even though I feel this way right now and it's heavy, I won't always feel this way. It does get easier over time. It's not easy. It's not easy. And for some people, it's a very different experience, that it gets harder over time. But still, if you're utilizing tools to help yourself, such as listening to podcasts, you're doing the right thing. You're trying to seek help. And that means you have a heart to seek help and you're on the right path. So anger is an incredibly difficult one. Because when you feel it, it is just, it's in your face all the time. Gosh, I remember this feeling that I had as I'm like looking back. It was like rage, like that I just couldn't believe this was my life. And many of you will understand this, that I have two little kids that still want to play and, you know, still want me to make them dinner and to hang out with them and to tell them stories and to read to them and pray with them. And you can't just tell these little kids like, sorry, I'm just too angry. You have to like put on a show kind of a thing, you know? But it is hard. It is very hard. And we all have our own different experiences. Some of you have older children. And that creates a whole nother layer of difficulty. Yes, it's very difficult with little kids. And then for very separate reasons, it's very difficult with older kids. And I can think of several pros and cons, if you want to call it that, to having big kids and having little kids. Each one has pros and cons that makes one easier and one harder than the other. And so we're all in our own boats, or some of you don't have kids. And that creates a set of challenges too. That, you know, I have a daughter that is like a spitting image of my wife and reminds me so much of her. And gosh, what a gift that is. And, you know, some people don't have that. So, you know, we all have our own reasons why we're angry. Also, the different ways, not all of you were Cancer, you know? You know, like I've said on here before, for Tina, her husband left for work and never came home. And she struggled with a lot of anger too. You know, and her anger was, it's very justified. Like it's justifiable and it's understandable. And, you know, sometimes we don't feel that, like, what would you call it? Like a Christian feeling, I guess. Like, you know, we don't want to hear about, you know, God allowing this for a reason and, you know, all those things. Cause like you're grieving and you're angry and like, you don't want to hear about somebody trying to cheer you up. It's like the worst thing to hear when you're like angry and upset and grieving and somebody's trying to like cheer you up and like, you know, write it off as if like you're overreacting or something. And especially when it's somebody who has no idea what you're going through, like no clue. But yet they seem to have all the advice in the world. And, you know, God bless them. And I appreciate, you know, like Michelle has said, I'd rather somebody say something stupid than nothing. And because saying nothing is worse, pretending like nothing happened is worse. And that's what a lot of people do because it's awkward to talk about. But so I at least appreciated people saying something about it. But yeah, if people try to like downplay your grief and like, well, you know, you'll see her again. You know, or him or whatever, you know, depending on your situation. Or, you know, we've gone through all of these before, just the ways people like downplay. They don't know they're doing it, of course, but they downplay what you're going through because they don't know how to deal with it. And so they're like, well, you know, at least he lived a good life. Or, you know, and I've brought myself to a lot of those feelings. That like for one of them, for example, a lot of people got saved by watching Lacey go through what she went through. A lot of people got saved. A lot of people, I mean, I don't know how many. I know of at least two, but several people that made hints about, there were definitely a lot of seeds planted for non-believers, but I know of two people that gave their life to Christ through Lacey's trial. And that works for me now. That is very valuable to me now. And I tried to tell myself how valuable that was in the beginning. And I'm just being real and honest with you, because now that I'm on this side of it, that is huge. That is huge. There are people that will be in heaven for all of eternity because Lacey got cancer. So is it worth it? Yes, it is. From God's perspective. From my perspective, I didn't want to hear that. Like, even though I was the one telling it to myself, I didn't want to hear that from myself, you know, but I knew it to be true. But I was like, I don't care. Like, I want Lacey, you know? And so that's how we all like feel at first. And for a long time, we feel this anger, and I still get it sometimes if I think about it. Like, I still miss my old life, and I miss my wife and all of these things, even though I'm, you know, very happy now with Tina. Like, we've talked about this before, that you can be happy and you can be sad and you can be angry and you can have joy all at the same time. None of those things cancel each other out, because they are about specific things. Yes, I'm extremely joyful and feel really blessed to have Tina in my life. On the other hand, over here, I'm really bitter and angry and sad that I don't have Lacey in my life anymore, and that my kids lost their mom, and that we just had this really great life and we had everything all figured out. We like knew how to love each other really, really well. And, you know, overnight, all of the inside jokes, all of the plans, all of the strategies, all of the things we use to avoid conflict, all of the knowing about each other's food, each other's likes, each other's dislikes, how to please each other, you know, whether it was drawing a bath for her or going on a hike with her, or this is kind of silly, but like her sitting down and like playing video games with me for a little bit or something, like whatever it was, like we knew how to please each other, and all of that stuff, snap of a finger, it's gone. It's over. And that's hard, even though it was a tremendous blessing to get to be with her. Same thing. Like, I can feel so blessed for the time that I got to be with Lacey and still be really sad sometimes that she's gone. I mean, I'm always sad that she's gone, but that's when I think about it. Like, when it actually comes up in grief is what I'm talking about with the sometimes. I mean, I can always think about it and be like, dang it, you know? But, you know, like I was saying, like Tina went through a lot of anger, and her anger was around, and I'm sure a lot of you relate to this, I shouldn't have to do this. Like, of course she has anger about, you know, her husband not being there anymore and her kids losing her father and all the super obvious things, but, you know, mulching her garden, and they used to have a way that they did it together. You know, he would bring all the bags of mulch over, and she would cut them open and dump them out. And I think they spread them around together. I don't remember the exact system they used, but she was trying to do the whole thing by herself. And, I think it was like heavy or the wheelbarrow tipped over or something. And she just got mad and just slammed the bag of the mulch or the shovel or something, just slammed it on the ground out of anger. And, gosh, if we all can't relate to that, I mean, that's how I felt. And it might be silly to some of you, but I know a lot of the guys I've talked to understand that that's how I felt in the grocery store. I just felt so clueless and like I didn't know what to do. And I felt so overwhelmed. And that's how I feel about doctor's appointments and lining up childcare and all of these things that I never had to deal with, that Lacey was just happy to take care of it. And now all of a sudden, everything's on my plate. And it made me angry. I was like, I don't. And I remember one time in the grocery store, I was just like, my strategy for grocery shopping, and at the risk of all of you laughing at me, my strategy for grocery shopping was literally walking up and down every single aisle and looking side to side very slowly and thinking what I should buy. And then sometimes when I would get to the far side of the store and I would see, say, spaghetti noodles. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I can make spaghetti. And then I'd have to backtrack and go back and get something else or whatever. And so I'd be at the grocery store for like 2 hours, 3 hours sometimes. Like there were a couple times it was 3 hours, but actually I think the time that, no, I'm sorry. Those times I'm talking about are when I had to read every label for Lacey. But sometimes it would take me an hour and a half, 2 hours to go grocery shopping. And I would leave the store and I'd be like, gosh, I don't really have that much to show for this. Like this took me so long and I don't have any meals planned. So anyways, I've gotten a lot better at that, but there was one time I was in the grocery store and I just became so overwhelmed. I said, I don't know how to do this. And I just turned around and I walked out of the store and I left my cart there and I went to my car and I started crying. And that was, I don't know, a couple weeks after she died. Cause even when Lacey was alive, she would like give me ideas and lists and, you know, like she couldn't write, but like, I would type out what she'd say and, you know, on my list on my phone. And, yeah, it was just something that was very challenging for me. Or when I have to deal with like doctor's appointments and, you know, when I had to take Luke to the dentist the last time around and they had to put him to sleep to remove some teeth, like watching him look around the room so afraid at all these people that were surrounding him, all these, you know, dentists and assistants that were like trying to distract him while they, you know, injected him and put him to sleep. And I was like crying in the lobby because it was so hard to watch my little boy go through that. And it was also hard because like Lacey used to handle all that stuff and that stuff made me angry. So now what do we do? What do we do? We all understand anger. So what do we do? So here's what I feel. I feel you need to go to God. And this is what I would do. I would invite God to sit with me in the car when I would go on drives. And usually it was when I was commuting to work. It was about an hour away. And I would just vent to God about how angry I was and all the things I was angry about and how upset I was. And foolishly, I would like give God these like ultimatums. Like, I mean, I don't know if that's the right verbiage, but I would basically say like, all right, well, you allowed this, so you're now responsible to fix it. Like, this is on you to fix it. Like, you got to figure all this stuff out for me. You got to figure out my anger. And, you know, I know that's not the right approach, but that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, that God can handle that. I was still going to God. I was still going to God. I wasn't turning my back on him or saying, you know, forget you. And so I think that's number one. That's the most important thing. Number two is, and this is hard to do. I'm not saying this because it's easy. I'm saying this because I feel it's right. You do have to look around and start finding the things that you are grateful for. Things that are positive in your life still. And we all have them. So for me, I was able to say, well, I'm grateful that my kids don't have cancer. That's a huge one. I think all of us can relate to that. And some, whether it's your kids or whether it's a, excuse me, a sibling or a parent or whomever it might be, we all can relate to that, that we can say, well, at least so-and-so is healthy. And you might have more people in your life that have cancer. You might be still going through it. And all these things, but there's always going to be something to look at that you can still feel gratitude for. And I think it's important, even though you're still going to be angry, I think it's important to observe those things and file them away and at least say, you know, I'm still pissed off about this, but, you know, like at least this or at least that. And I can acknowledge that I'm still blessed in this way or in that way. I mean, a lot, I know this isn't everybody listening because we've, you know, been listened to in 78 countries, but a lot of us can feel very blessed to live in the United States. Very few people throughout all of human history have lived in a free society. And I know there's a lot of free societies around the world. But just saying this in this day and age, Less than 1% of people out of all the people that ever lived have lived on Earth. Less than 1% of people have lived in a free society. It's usually throughout all of history been under some kind of dictatorship or slave enslavement or imprisonment. That's how most people through history have lived. And gosh, what a blessing for most of us that we do live in a free society, that we do have freedom of religion, and that we're not being told what we can and can't believe. I mean, you know, who knows how long that's going to last? We never know, you know, but for the time being, we have the ability to worship God in the streets. We can go down the street in our car and listen to, you know, Christian music or podcasts or whatever we want, as loud as we want. Well, I guess not as loud. You can get a ticket for noise pollution, but you get the point of what I'm saying. So, so that's something that I think we all need to recognize, that there is still things to be positive about. No matter what you're going through, you can still find things to be grateful for. So it might be helpful to wake up in the mornings, and even though you don't want to, remember, you have to put in work to find your healing. So start a gratitude journal. Start exercising. If you go for a walk every morning, you will feel so much better about yourself. You will already feel so accomplished for the day, and it will encourage you to do more and more and more positive things throughout the day. Pray, be in prayer intentionally, because we don't always feel like praying. And I'm not the best at this either, but get into the Word. Be reading your Bible, just even if it's like a chapter a day or the verse of the day, whatever it is, just read something from the Lord. Ask Him to, you know, to speak to your heart, and pray. So it can be difficult, but there are things you can do. Don't surround yourself. This is a big one. I want you to hear this. Don't surround yourself with negative people. If you surround yourself with negative people, guess what's going to happen? You're going to feel negative. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. So you have to surround yourself with positive thinking people and suck that positive energy from them. Don't, because you're gonna feel two different things. When you go hang around with negative people, you're gonna feel negative. If you go hang around with positive people, you're gonna feel positive. It's gonna rub off on you. They say that you are like the 10 people that you hang out with. So you want a positive circle of influence in your life. That's important. Attend church, hear from God, make choices that are going to make people say, wow, even though this person's angry and bitter and grieving, they're still going to God. What a testimony for the kingdom. We are all called to represent God's kingdom. So here's a good example. This is from Proverbs. I don't have my glasses. I think it says 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so that's exactly what I'm talking about. If you feel people around you that are negative, that are always saying negative stuff, or you're always saying negative stuff, it's going to stir up anger inside of you. So here's some strategies you can do when you feel yourself. I just actually learned this recently because I struggle with anger. If you are feeling the anger coming on, slow down your breathing. Okay. Slow down your breathing. Relax your muscles. Say it out loud. I'm angry. And then slow your words down. If you're talking to somebody, slow your words down. Talk like this. Talk more calmly. And you will notice that you kind of calm down. You all have plenty to be angry about. So I don't want you to feel like I'm, not saying you do, that you don't. But we all want to be moving forward in life, and you don't want to live the rest of your life angry. So anyways, that was my little episode to you guys today. I hope it helped. And I'm going to pray for us real quick. Lord, thank you so much for this ministry and for all the people that you've brought to us and entrusted us with that actually still want to listen to us. And I pray that these words are a blessing to them, and you help all of us, those of us, Lord, that are still struggling with anger. We want to be good children, and we want to do what you want. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I just want to thank you guys for listening to me blabber for 30 minutes about anger, but I hope this has been helpful for you guys. I know it's such a tough emotion. Anger is such a tough one, and we all struggle with it. You are not alone in that, and it's important to acknowledge your feelings. It's important to be aware of your feelings. And, you know, try to smile. That's another thing that helps. Try to smile. If you smile, it's statistically proven to make you happier. And it also spreads joy. So try to smile. Try to laugh. It's okay to laugh. Tina told me that. And I don't know if any of you tuned into the 100th episode last night, the live episode. But Tina mentioned that in the comments, that we gave her permission to laugh. So I want to do that for all of you. It's okay to laugh. If something's funny, laugh. It'll make you feel better. Just a little bit, even if for the moment. It feels good to laugh. It is actual medicine. So if you like this podcast, I'm going to switch it up. Give it a little bling, bling, 5 stars. Leave a comment, review. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, as Michelle would say, all the places. I would love to tell you where you can email us, but I cannot remember because Michelle does all that. I think it's, I'm not even going to try. So sorry, Michelle, if you're listening. But, you know, just go to another episode if you want to email us. She says it in the end of every episode. So I pray she gives the outro. So thanks for listening. God bless you all. And thank you so much for supporting this ministry.